Hey, good morning, everyone. How's it going? Happy Memorial Day weekend. My name is Jamie. I'm one of the pastors here. And today I have the privilege of speaking, which I never do, by my choice. I know Tim probably wants me to speak more, but the advantage of speaking very infrequently is that I can choose the one thing I want to talk about. And today that's crafting a rule of life. So I'm going to unpack what that means in more detail, but that phrase might be a bit strange depending on your background, but a rule of life, all that means is a plan for your spiritual life. That's all it is, a plan for your spiritual life. It's a plan for how to be with Jesus, how to become like Jesus, and how to do the things that he did. It's about being an apprentice to Jesus. Now, I never heard a phrase like being apprentice to Jesus growing up. That was not my church background. But I love that phrase because it helps shift our focus on what we are trying to do as followers of Jesus. It's about, we're used to believing in Jesus, which is foundational, but it's also about becoming like Jesus, which is often a piece that's missing in modern day Christianity. So believing in Jesus, yes, versus becoming like Jesus, which is what we're aspiring to do here. Our mission at New City is to inspire people to find and follow Jesus. And the question is, what does that tangibly look like? Especially the follow part, because a lot of us have found Jesus and we're trying to follow Jesus, but what does that mean exactly? So that is where a rule of life comes into play. I've had a rule of life for some time. I'm not an expert, but I'm just trying to share what I've learned along the journey. And one of the great things about being together as a church community is that we can learn from each other and share what we each have discovered in our journey of following Jesus. So if you're new to all this, what is the rule of life in more detail? There's an author and minister, her name is Marjorie Thompson, and she clarified the term rule that's found in rule of life. She says, the Latin word for rule is regula, from which our words regular and regulate derive. A rule of life is not meant to be restrictive, although it certainly asks for genuine commitment. It is meant to help us establish a rhythm of daily living. A rule of life, like a trellis, curbs our tendency to wander and supports our frail efforts to grow spiritually. I think that's said very beautifully. The metaphor of a trellis and vine, I think, is very helpful. We have a trellis in our garden back here, and that metaphor is helpful in understanding what a rule of life is intended to do. I have a couple photos of a trellis, various designs. It's basically just a support structure to help the vine grow into full health and maturity. So you can see where this is going. Our rule of life is the trellis, and our spiritual lives are the vine. And continuing with the vine metaphor, in John's gospel, Jesus said that he is the true vine. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So how do we remain in Jesus? And what does it look like to bear much fruit? A rule of life. Quick side note, when I talk about our spiritual lives, I'm not talking about another addition to your life. I'm talking about our lives holistically in their entirety. The rule of life doesn't really work if it's only an add-on to your life. It needs to encompass everything, your physical life, your emotional, mental, and relational parts. Because everything is spiritual, or in other words, everything has spiritual implications. So what you do with your physical life matters spiritually. What you do with your mental life matters spiritually. What you do with your financial life, your social life, your relational life, your emotional life, they all matter spiritually. And the rule of life encompasses all areas of your life. But even though it covers everything, it's an invitation to do less, not more. I hope that is good news. The rule is not one more thing to add to your jam-packed schedule. It's to reorient your current life towards doing less and receive the abundant grace and freedom that Jesus offers us. You may be thinking, Jamie, how exactly do you propose we do less? You don't know my schedule. And to that I'd say, perhaps the first step towards creating or revisiting your rule of life is to do an honest assessment of your life. What do you value most? What do you prioritize most? There's a difference between having a full life and a hurried life. Jesus' days were full and packed, yet he was never hurried. Never. I think one of the harder things we face in life is embracing limitation. We cringe at that idea. I do. We absurdly think that we can do everything we want to do, and that's just simply not true. I've heard it said that trying to find what's valuable is not exactly like looking for a needle in a haystack, where the needle is what's valuable and the hay is noise and distraction. Instead, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack of needles, where everything is good and necessary, but you're just trying to figure out what to do and how to hold it all together. Our lives are filled with needles that are valuable and good, but fundamentally, we have to confront our limitations and acknowledge that we can't have it all. So what is the most important thing? A rule of life helps us navigate the chaos of our lives in an unhurried way. A rule of life helps us fulfill all the necessary demands upon us in a way marked by peace, love, kindness, and generosity. Through all of the busyness of modern living, you can be known as someone who looks and acts like Jesus. So you may find yourself in one of two extremes. On one side, you may be experiencing the absolute chaos and exhaustion of modern life. Or on the other, there's the crippling sloth and laziness with no direction in life. Or counterintuitively, maybe some combination of both. So do you find yourself in one of those extremes? Creating a rule of life is a path forward into abundant living no matter where you find yourself. Another reason we need a rule of life is to focus on that which truly matters, who we are becoming. So who do you want to become? One of my favorite authors and philosophers, his name is Dallas Willard, he says, "The most important thing in your life is not what you do. It's who you become." I haven't found many places in society that preach a phrase like that, but what a helpful reminder I think it is. What you do matters. It really matters what you do, but it's not the most important thing. What's most important is who we are becoming. Here's another quote from author Henry Nouwen. "A rule offers creative boundaries within which God's loving presence can be recognized and celebrated. It does not prescribe, but invite. It does not force, but guide. It does not threaten, but warn. It does not instill fear, but points to love. In this, it is a call to freedom, freedom to love." If you've been a part of New City for some time, you'll have heard about creating a rule of life. We talk about it annually, and you might already have one. But the reason we want to continually speak about it is because a rule of life is because plans change. Having a demanding job or losing a job, raising kids or finding a partner, extreme busyness or extreme apathy, these are all things that can and do happen throughout the course of our lives. We need a plan that is flexible and adaptable if we actually intend to follow Jesus. One thing to make clear, however, is that you do need a plan if you want to become like Jesus. You can't just wing it because it just won't work. You may want to book that next vacation, but it's not going to happen unless you have a plan. You've got to research lodging, transportation, budget, and so on. Without following this plan, all you have is wishful thinking. The wishful thinking and that desire may be entirely genuine and authentic, but without actually following the plan, it's just not going to happen. This is the same for spiritual formation. Our desire to follow Jesus might be so pure, but without a plan, it's just not going to happen. Does that sound crazy? Because it is. There's a lot of work that needs to happen to shift the idea from just believing in Jesus to actually becoming like Jesus, doing the things he did, and just being with Jesus, abiding with Jesus, remaining in Jesus, as that passage in John talks about. So if the idea of adding one more plan to your life stresses you out immensely, I've got good news, because you already have a rule of life, even if you've never crafted one intentionally before. We are creatures of habit. Your whole life is comprised of habits that have shaped you into the person you are today. Creating a rule of life is looking at the way you are actually living your life right now and asking yourself if you are becoming the person that you want to be, becoming like Jesus. How can your existing habits and routines and practices help shape you to be like Jesus? Remember, the invitation is to do less, not more. The rule of life is not intended to be an addition to your life. It's meant to guide you into a life overflowing with love and peace and joy, less stress, less anxiety, less hurry, less hate, full of meaning, full of impact, full of purpose. On the wall in the foyer right out here, on your way down to Soul Food, you'll see the quote says, "Learning the unforced rhythms of grace," that comes from the Message translation of the Bible from Eugene Peterson. And the word that sticks out to me as it relates to today is the word unforced. When we learn the rhythms of grace and learning to follow a rule, it's all meant to be unforced. It's not an addition. It's not complicated. It's not meant to be forced. It's all meant to be unforced. I hope sincerely that this makes it all a bit less daunting. Creating a rule of life is meant to be accessible. So how do we do that? There's another quote. I don't know if I have it up here from the Renovare. Maybe not. No, it's okay. There's an organization called Renovare. They put out spiritual formation literature. And I love this quote. It says, "When creating a rule of life, it's tempting to pack in all the things we think an ideal Christian should do. But in doing so, our rule, meant to be a guide to freedom, can become a harsh ruler in both senses of the word, a joyless dictator and a measuring stick against which we fall short." So we don't want that, obviously. You may have already experienced some form of that if you've tried to implement a rule of life in your life in the past. So what do? We start very small, very simply. A rule of life is meant to support your life, like the trellis. It's not meant to crush it. If at any point your rule becomes a harsh ruler, it's time to adjust. Remember, your rule is a flexible, living document. You can adjust it at any time. Also, a rule of life is never something you achieve or accomplish. It's not the kind of game where you play it once and win and never pick it up again. A rule of life is the kind of game you play over and over again perpetually for the love of the game. So what should go in a rule of life? What does it look like specifically? Well, it really can be anything that helps guide your life into becoming like Jesus. There's a ton of freedom in it. There's room to adapt it based upon your preferences and your personality style. Here's what I recommend. It's taken from an organization called Practicing the Way. It was started in Bridgetown Church in Portland by this author named and pastor named John Mark Comer. I have some worksheets I'm going to pass out in a minute, and it has all those resources there if you'd like to look more into it. But here are the 9 practices they've identified. I don't know if you can see that well, but you've probably heard, if you've been around the church for a while, these terms before. But I want to briefly give a sentence for each of these. I find it very helpful. Sabbath. We become a community of rest and a culture of hurry and exhaustion through the practice of Sabbath. Prayer. We become a community of communion with God in a culture of distraction and escapism through the practice of prayer. Fasting. We become a community of holiness in a culture of indulgence and immorality through the practice of fasting. Solitude. We become a community of peace and quiet in a culture of anxiety and noise through the practice of solitude. Generosity. We become a community of contentment in a culture of consumerism through the practice of generosity. Scripture. We become a community of courageous fidelity to orthodoxy in a culture of ideological compromise through the practice of Scripture. Community. We become a community of love and depth in a culture of individualism and superficiality through the practice of community. Service. We become a community of justice, mercy, and reconciliation in a culture of injustice and division through the practice of service. Witness. We become a community of hospitality in a culture of hostility through the practice of witness. These are the 9 core practices, and there are other practices you may wish to add to your rule of life, but remember, less is more. Start simply. Here are some additional ideas, though. Some may include following a healthy meal plan, sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night, limiting caffeine, alcohol, and sugar intake, reading books, exercising regularly. Remember, everything has spiritual implications. Living a healthy life matters. So, spiritual practices are practices. Historically, they've been called spiritual disciplines, also a great term, but I love the term practice because it emphasizes that it's not a checklist item to complete. The goal is never to get good at the practices, it's simply to do them consistently over time. I want to make another note about your personality style. Ideally, these 9 practices will show up in some form on your rule of life, but they don't have to be in equal proportion. You may be an extrovert where community and service and witness come very naturally to you, or you may be more introverted and excel at silence and solitude. There's room for everyone. There's also practices of abstinence and practices of engagement. So you may have a personality style that leans into one or the other. Practices of engagement include the exercise of doing, like justice and worship and study and witness. Practices of abstinence are disciplines of not doing, like fasting and silence and Sabbath and so on. So whatever practices resonate with you, start radically simple and show yourself the grace that God shows you, which is extravagant and unending. So how do you make this all stick if you want to do this? Well, you got to make it simple and you got to make it feel good. You can stretch yourself and do challenging things while still looking forward to it. The reality is, if you dread doing this or if it becomes an obligation, you're not going to do it. And that's not what I believe Jesus is inviting us into. This is meant to be life-giving, so start stupidly simple. Information alone is not enough to produce transformation. We have to take action for spiritual formation to occur. And it's all by the grace of God. You can't earn more of God's love. Practicing a rule of life doesn't make God love you more. God loves those who don't look like Jesus. Thank God. God has already shown you unfathomable love. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. He already loves you infinitely. But with all that said, we still have a role to play. We have to take action in order to become like Jesus. We are responding to his love. Okay, so now we're going to do something a bit unique. We're going to take some time in service right now to start creating a rule of life. Surprise, surprise. I have some worksheets I'm going to pass around. Can someone help me? You want to tell me some? In this worksheet, you'll find a lot of resources and recommended reading. If you'd like to on your own time. There's just a couple things I want to mention about this handout. One is that this is from the Practicing the Way organization that I mentioned earlier. You'll find a website in there and also a QR code where they have a digital rule of life builder. It's great. I've used it before. It's very helpful. If that's digital, you know, tools are your thing, there you go. If not, I created on the back like a template where you can write daily, weekly, and monthly seasonal practices. The very last page has some recommended practices: Sabbath, observe a Sabbath, prayer, pray at set times throughout the day. These are just recommendations, not obligations. Set aside time of morning prayer, read scripture, etc. And one of these is laid out with the 9 practices on top, and then daily, weekly, monthly, seasonally. There's just a couple of different ways to do this. Don't get too hung up on it. Just create it in a way that resonates with your personality style. But I wanted to at least provide some resources for you to take home for further study. Another thing in the middle of the packet, there are some sample rules of life. Number one is, I believe this is what the church, Bridgetown Church in Portland, does. They have a whole church practice together, this rule of life. Number two, this is Brittany's rule. She's a graduate student in her 20s. Example of what that would look like. Sample rule of life number 3, June's rule, married with young son, works as a teacher. So you can get some ideas there of what other people have done. But let's just take a few minutes. We're going to have some music playing. There are pens in the chairs in front of you, and you can just pull out the Bibles too if you need a surface to write on. Maybe just do like 1, 2, or maybe 3 things. Just start writing down. What could you implement in your life? Radically simple. Remember, radically simple and life-giving. What sticks out to you? What do you want to do? Don't write what the ideal Christian looks like, whatever you think that is. Just write one thing that you think you could do to move into becoming like Jesus. I've talked a lot about becoming like Jesus, but there's also just being with Jesus, the abiding, where you're not striving to do anything. You're just being in his presence. Maybe that resonates with you. Maybe the things that Jesus actually did resonate with you. All valid. So let's just take a few minutes and do this. If you have any more questions, I'd love to talk to you more about this. I give short sermons, so that's about it, all I have. But we're going to take a few minutes to do this, and then we'll finish with a closing song.